Hey everybody, my name is Colin. You are all listening to the first sports card show brought to you by NorCalSportsShop.com. Hey, we are back. First of all, just wanted to thank you for tuning in to our show here. We're going to mainly talk about sports cards, memorabilia, collectibles, and kind of go from both angles. Go from the collector side, the person that is going to the card shops, is getting on eBay, and is getting as many cards as they can of their favorite player or team. And we're also going to go a little bit from the selling side. And you can be, you know, I think you can be a collector and a seller. They're tough to balance, but I think you can do both. And I've been doing both myself for maybe the last 10 years or so, and I've been collecting for basically my whole life, for almost 20 years. And I just wanted to maybe let you know a little bit about myself. For the last couple years, I've been owning a sports collectible shop here in sunny, hot, smoggy Turlock, California. And it's going pretty good. We sell a little bit of sports cards, single cards, and we sell jerseys and hats and t-shirts and things like that. And it's going pretty good. We also do a lot of business online. You can find us on eBay. You can find us on the web. And we do all those kind of things, and we're really enjoying it, and it's a lot of fun. And I just kind of wanted to bring maybe that angle to you guys, maybe a little bit of selling and how to sell, where to sell, what are some of the good times to sell your cards. And another big topic is probably why you should sell your cards. I meet a lot of collectors out there today that don't sell their cards, that they hold on to them. And even when the player's hot, even when the player's at the tail end of his career or whatever it might be, they're holding on to that card thinking it's going to be a $10,000 card one day and maybe put their daughter through college, which maybe at some point that might happen, but with all cards, that doesn't normally happen. So I just want to maybe convince some of you guys that hold onto those cards, sell a few every once in a while, maybe give yourself a little bit better budget, maybe clean out the house so your wife or girlfriend don't get on your case too much, whatever it might be. But we're also going to come from the collector side, you know, where you can go to collect, what websites are out there, what hobby stores are out there. I know hobby stores are drying up like sun-dried tomatoes. I mean, it's unbelievable. There's very few. I remember growing up, I grew up about 30 minutes from here in a town. It was about 250,000 when I lived there, but now it's well over 400,000, I think. And there were, I would say, five or six card shops growing up. When I was a kid, there was always quite a few. And now when I go back there, there's usually only one or two. And it's a very tough business to break into. And you've got to plan it very correctly. And you got to make sure you know your stuff. Otherwise, the rent's going to get up on you and all the other bills are going to get up on you. So just want to let you guys know that I just want to get you guys involved as well. We have an email address. It is sportscardshow@gmail.com. Send me an email. Let me know what you want to hear. Let me know how bad I suck. Whatever you want to do, let me know. Give me some ideas for the show. I'm going to need those because I'm going to run out here probably in about 20 minutes. But well, on the subject of time, we're going to make these hopefully fairly short. I'm not going to try to go the 45, 50 minutes. We're going to keep these short. And, what you can expect from us over the next couple weeks is, you know, not a lot of guests, not a lot of flashy, like, Topps executive or Upper Deck CEO. I'm not going to be able to bring you that. I'm in a small town and, you know, I'm doing this on my own budget. So we're not going to bring you a lot of that, but I am going to hopefully bring you a little bit of idea of what it's like collecting today and how it might be different from when you collected when you were a kid or even further before that. So we'll talk about all those kind of things and probably a lot more.
Next.
All right, we are back. How's it going? Let's try to narrow it down today. Let's try to talk about basically what it's like collecting today. If you're just getting into collecting, maybe you're a seasoned collector, whatever it might be, let's talk a little bit about what it's like collecting in 2008. Just going through the magazines and kind of reading some of the websites, the hobby is kind of settled into a period where you have super premium products like Upper Deck Exquisite, National Treasures, There's quite a few others. Those are just off the top of my head. And then you have mid-range products like, I would say, Topps Chrome and Topps Finest. And there's quite a few out there. And you have tons to choose from no matter what sport you collect. Any sport you collect, there's quite a few things you can do. And we'll try to break it down today. Mainly, the hot thing, I would say, throughout all sports is probably rookie cards. Rookie cards consistently do well year after year. It doesn't matter what the sport is. And obviously the brands fluctuate. Like if you're looking at baseball, you're looking at Bowman Chrome has been putting out some of the best rookie cards and recognized it's as the leader as rookie cards come in baseball. Now, when you jump over to football and basketball, that's not necessarily the case. I can't think off the top of my head. Maybe with football, it's like Playoff Contenders and SP Authentic, and those are two of the premium products, and Topps Chrome to a certain extent, that put out really good football rookies that are very collectible, and people like to put together the whole set or get them graded, whatever it might be. And in basketball, it's probably a little bit different. There's quite a few products in basketball, and I don't know if one has really put its foot in the ground as maybe the best product, but there's quite a few out there, and it changes from year to year, I think, in basketball. And one of the major things, if you want to collect rookie cards, is to focus on what you want to do. I think there's two ways to go at it, and you can obviously do a combination of both, but there's two ways to go at it, I think. You can collect rookies that are hot right from the beginning, and off the top of my head, I can think of just a few years back, you had Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, Vince Young. All those guys were extremely hot. Their cards were selling at enormous values the minute they got drafted, even before that. And you can go out and collect those cards, and you can buy their rookies at extremely high prices, hundreds of dollars for an autographed rookie or a low serial numbered parallel, whatever it might be, or a jersey card or a two-color, whatever it might be. And you can grade those cards or hold on to them, whatever you want to do. And there's another way to go about it, and it's often a little bit more creative. You have to do a little bit more research, but it's buying the rookies that fly under the radar or are late round draft picks or late bloomers, whatever it might be. You can collect them, and you can buy their cards at a cheaper value, hoping that when they get their chance on the field or on the court or on the diamond, that they'll break through and make you a lot of money if you want to sell those cards. And it's two ways to go about it. I would say you can do both, and you can certainly collect the big name rookies, the number one picks, right when they come out. But it's sometimes difficult with those cards because they come out so hot and the expectations are so high that very few players that I can think of meet those expectations. I mean, we rattled off three names: Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, and Vince Young. Those were the poster boys of the 2006 NFL draft class. And although they've all done well and they've all had their moments, I would say that maybe they haven't lived up to hype. I know Vince Young has done extremely well, and I know his cards sell very well, but the Titans haven't exactly broken through yet. And Reggie Bush has had some issues off the field, and he's had his issues on the field as well. And Matt Leinart's the same way. And it's very hard for a player to come out and be like someone like Tiger Woods or Michael Jordan. I mean, those are the two examples I can think of, or maybe someone like Tom Brady, that just at the start of their career, they're collected, and then they go up from there, and their values keep going up year after year, and that very rarely happens. I mean, you could probably count on maybe two hands, maybe a third one, of the players that consistently do that year after year, and it's very hard to find that. And you want to keep that in mind when you're collecting rookie cards. Should you spend $200, $300 on a single card that in the future, even if that player has a good career or even a Hall of Fame career, will that card go up much further than that? And how long will you have to keep that card? That's why the other strategy, sometimes finding the sleepers, like Maurice Jones-Drew was in that same draft, and I don't think he was quite as widely collected very early on until he had some explosive games really early on in his career, and that obviously drove his prices up. And the one thing about having a rookie class like that is it sets the bar. Guys like Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, and Vince Young, they set the bar for the rest of the guys. And if someone like Maurice Jones-Drew is playing as well or better than Reggie Bush, and Reggie Bush's rookie is worth, say, 200, then Maurice Jones-Drew's rookie is going to climb, maybe not quite to that 200 right in the beginning, but it'll get up there. And that's why it's good to focus as well on the rookie class and who else is in that class. If it's a big class, like the basketball class with Greg Oden and Kevin Durant, that was a fairly large class. Obviously, if you go back a few years, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and there's plenty others from that draft. That was a huge draft, and you see that products from that year tend to be a little bit more expensive, a little bit harder to find, so that's something you want to keep in mind as well, is the price of what you're going to be collecting. Do you want to collect from the Dwayne Wade, LeBron James rookie year? You might want to do that, but understand that the prices have matured now, and prices are at a level that are very even with the supply and demand, and you have a lot of things going into that. And it's there's a lot of things into going into card collecting. I know we could probably talk for an hour here just on rookie cards, but my main thing I want to get through to you is to probably narrow it down. Try to focus on either a favorite team or a favorite sport. And do that from the beginning. If you're already a season collector, you've already probably gotten this routine down. You know what sets to collect. You know what sports do you want to capitalize on. And it might change from year to year. Or maybe even month to month. Sometimes sports changes very quickly. And you want to change your strategies. And especially if you're selling. And I know I went over that right in the beginning. That selling cards and trading. I might not bring that up enough. But if you're into the hobby community, there are ways to trade your cards. You've got to be creative. You've got to be able to make a deal. Because, and the same way goes for selling. You've got to be willing to make a deal and be willing to sell the card at its market price. You might look in the Beckett and the card says it's worth $150 to $250, but really, if it's the off season, or if the player's had a down year, or if he's gimpy, or if he's holding out, and Drew Rosenhouse is on ESPN, you know, that player might not sell quite as well. And you want to keep that in mind when you're making trades and when you're selling your cards is how much do you really want to get from that card? What value do you want to get? What investment do you have in it? What time, what emotional attachment do you have to that player or the team or the card? And you want to keep that all in mind when you're collecting. I know it's quite a bit, but and that's why it's such a fun hobby. And you know, we're going to basically focus on a topic each week. This week, a little bit of rookie cards, and we'll get into a little bit more as we go along here. But I just wanted to touch on rookie cards and how they've really affected the hobby. And we can touch on a little bit of the history. Basically, you go back and the rookies of the vintage 60s and before that are obviously very high demand now. They're in short supply. And the card companies today have been trying to mimic that in a certain way where they low serial number and they autograph and they do certain parallels to rookies to make you think that the card's limited. The problem is Upper Deck and Topps and these companies, they release, I don't know, a dozen, several dozens of products each year. So yes, in a certain given set, Reggie Bush might only have 200 true rookie cards, but Upper Deck makes 12 sets, 15 sets a year. So that number is equal to what it was in the 90s. And we'll get to the 90s and collecting kind of in that mid-range, that 70s to 1997 or so. That's a very unique time in sports cards, and we could have a whole show on that, and I will get to that. And a lot of collectors still have those cards or collected during that time period, and that's why today is such a good time for cards, is you have a lot of collectors that did collect at one time, and when cards were everywhere, they were at every grocery store, they were at garage sales, and a lot of people wanted cards because the values were fairly good, and the values of the older cards were going up, And there were a lot of superstar players that were playing well, and for whatever reason it might be. And we'll get into all that in a future show. But today, we're going to focus on rookie cards, and I know we've touched on a little bit. But let's talk about grading your rookie cards. Grading your rookie cards is something that you want to take with a very careful approach. You want to make sure that when you send in a card to get graded, whether it's a rookie card or not, but mainly you're going to grade your rookie cards because that's how you're going to accelerate the value in a card. Say you have two identical cards, and we'll say it's a Jay Bruce Boma Chrome rookie card. And these cards are normally in very fine condition, and they're always cut fairly well. The centering's not too big of a problem. So you're normally going to expect at least an 8 or a 9 when you send one of these in. Now, if you sell that card ungraded, you might get, I don't know, today, I know Jay Bruce is on fire, and I remember when those cards were selling in the $7 to $10 range. I'm sure now, I haven't checked, but I'm sure on eBay, you're probably looking at a $20 card now. Now, if you get that card graded, it's going to cost you a little bit of money to get it graded. Say you send it the slow way. It's going to cost you at least, with postage, insurance, and your time, you're looking at $10. If you accelerate it, because you're probably going to want to sell that card before the baseball season ends, you're going to have to pay a little bit more money. So you're probably looking at a $15 to $20 investment. Now, let's say you bought this card a year ago and you only paid $10 for it, and you got to pay $20 to ship it out and get it graded. You're looking at a $30 investment. Now, what you want to look at is when you do that and you want to sell the card, you want to check on eBay, you want to go to your card shop, or you want to find somebody that might want to trade that card. What are they willing to give up? Is it $30? At least you want to break even. Is it $30? If you get a 9 on it, is it $30? If you get an 8 on it, I highly doubt it's $30. It probably wouldn't be even worth grading that card. So you want to keep all those things in mind. And what happens when that card comes back on 9.5 from BGS or a 10 gem from PSA? Maybe you want to sell that card. Maybe you want to do all that. So you want to have all those things in place beforehand. If you get that 9.5 or 10 and you want to sell that card, where are you going to sell it? Are you going to sell it at your card shop? Are you going to sell it to a friend? Are you going to sell it on eBay? You want to make sure you have all those steps in place. And if you want to sell it on eBay, have an account, have some feedback, and we'll go over all that. I'm a big time eBay. I've been on eBay since I was probably too young to be on it, and it's grown quite a bit. I remember eBay used to be able to leave feedback just for anything. You could just find a member and leave them some feedback. It didn't matter if you bought an item from them or not. And obviously all that's changed. Their fees have changed, although it really hasn't changed too much. The only thing that's probably changed is PayPal. It is quite a big deal now, and they charge a lot for PayPal, and it's kind of the staple. It's what everybody uses, and it's kind of driven up the cost because PayPal charges a large percentage for something that with other merchant accounts is basically they charge about 6% plus about a 30-cent fee. Now, 6% may not seem like a lot, but I have a merchant account at my store, and I think it's like 1.24% or something like that, plus like a 30-cent fee or something like that. So, I mean, 5% may seem like a lot, but may not seem like a lot, but if you're doing hundreds of auctions a month or maybe even more than that, it ends up being a lot of money. So, PayPal has driven up some of those shipping fees, you see, but, well, anyways, we've kind of gotten off topic. But maybe the show's kind of gone on long enough today. I've just touched on a few topics. I mean, I kind of rambled on a little bit. And I want to wait till I hear some emails from you, the collector. sportscardshow@gmail.com. Send me an email. Let me know what you want to hear. Ask me some questions. Ask me some questions about selling. I'm a big expert on selling. I'm probably sell 95% of the time, and I collect only occasionally. I still collect my favorite players, my favorite teams, and we'll get into all of that. But basically, I'm in basketball. I've been a longtime Lakers fan. My parents grew up in the LA area, and when Magic Johnson was there, Kareem, and they moved up up north a little bit. And I remember watching all those guys when I was a little kid, and I've been following the Lakers as close as any other team. A second team for football, I'm a Bengals fan. That's kind of weird. I grew up a Niners fan, and they traded Joe Montana when I was a little kid. And to this day, I still, you know, I still don't understand why you could trade Joe Montana. And back then, I was even younger, and it just blew me away. And for some reason, it was back when the Bengals had the Bungles, maybe I should say, had Jeff Blake and Carl Pickens and all those guys. And I was a big fan of them, and I still follow them today. And I hope the greatest day of my life will be when the Bengals win a Super Bowl, or at least I see them in the Super Bowl. Because at least with the Lakers and my other favorite teams, I've at least seen them either win a title or be in the title game. With the Bengals, I've literally seen one playoff game, and I've seen my starting quarterback blow out his knee on the first play of the only playoff game I've ever seen. Although they played well, that was a good team. Jay Kitt came in, and anyways, but that's my favorite football team, and I collect cards from basketball and football. I love the Giants, the San Francisco Giants in baseball, growing up in this area, and I support them, and I collect some of their baseball rookies every now and then when I hear about a certain guy. Tim Lincecum, for example, I bought a rookie card of him, I think a little bit before he made his debut last year, and obviously he has played extremely well. That guy is electric. If you haven't seen Tim Lincecum or you don't know about him, check him out. His rookie cards, they're still somewhat affordable, I would say, only because the Giants are, you wouldn't think San Francisco is a small market, but compared to their success and some of these other teams, their players aren't quite as widely collectible, and so you want to check him out if you haven't already. And I'll be giving you tips about things like that, players that I think are up and coming. I mean, it's like poker and a bad beat story. I have a long list of players that I knew were good before they were stars, and I bought a handful of their cards and I made some money. But it's all about today. To me, it's about the next rookie, and I'll try to do a little bit more research and try to come up with some players that I think are up and coming, and maybe you can get on eBay or go to your local card shop, pick up a rookie that is well-priced and something that's not going to cost you a lot of money, that maybe a year from now or 2 years from now is going to cash in for you. And, you know, I thought of a few, Jay Bruce, Tim Lincecum, guys like that. Those are two guys in baseball that I can think of a year ago. You could have spent $100 on their rookie cards, and today probably doubled your money if you bought them right and you bought them before spring training, before all that. And you could have. I was watching their stats all last year, and it was very obvious that they were on the fast track to the bigs. And people don't get that in-depth about it. And that's the key with rookie cards. To bring it full circle, today's show was loosely about rookie cards. And to bring it full circle is that you want to do a little bit of research. It's a little, if you play fantasy football, it's a little bit like that. Yes, everybody knows the Tom Brady's, the Randy Moss, the T.O.'s, the Carson Palmer's, all those guys, the top players, the LT's. Everybody knows those players. But it's your late round draft picks, the fifth, sixth round. Who do you pick up? You know, who do you get in that seventh round? Is it a rookie? Is it a veteran player that had an off year and might be coming back in shape this year? And all that is done with just a little bit of research. You can go to the team websites. You can go for baseball, minorleaguebaseball.com. You can check them out. And you can, oh, I just gave him a free plug there, man. I don't make enough money giving out free plugs, so that might be one of my only ones. But you can go there, search for players, see who's playing well, search the league leaders, especially later in the season, or especially right around, I think it's September call-ups for baseball. It's around there. I'll probably get corrected by a baseball fan. But they have mid-season call-ups where they expand the rosters in the major leagues, and some of these young kids get a shot then, and that's when their cards, you see a huge jump, and you'll want to get them before that happens, because if you wait, then it might be too late. Maybe they come out and they hit that first home run or grand slam, or they hit for the cycle, or they do something like that, and you won't be able to afford that card anymore. So you want to do some research, search the sites, To me, if you're into it already, you're a veteran, you're a pro, you already know all this. I haven't gone over anything that you don't already know. Well, I hope maybe you picked up a few things. And in future shows, I'm hoping that the Experience Collector will chime in, give me some tips and advice about what's going on with them. You know, we might pick up some collectors that spend a lot of money or maybe not. But I want to hear some input on what you're collecting. What are some advice you have? What are some of your success stories? What are some of the prospects you're looking into? Things like that. And just do the research. That's my best advice to you. And we'll try to give you some tips on here as well about things you can collect and the sites you can go to find out about some of these up-and-coming players. And because we all know about the established stars, it's not too hard to know about the Matt Ryans and guys like that. It's pretty easy to see that on SportsCenter. But some of these unknown guys that fly under the radar, that's maybe some of your best investments right there, is finding the right player, getting the right card, making sure it's in good condition, and capitalizing on it when that player goes up. You've only spent maybe 10, maybe less than that, maybe $10 to $20 for that card. And if it's a $200 card and you don't sell that card or you don't trade that card, man, that'd be tough for me. And there's some of you out there that I'm sure sit on those cards, and I'd love to hear why you do that, why you might buy a card and sit on it and just sit on it for the rest of the guy's career. I'd love to hear why you might do that. And I'd also like to hear from the collectors that buy those cards, and the minute that guy breaks that 300-yard game or the 200-yard game or the three home runs or whatever it might be, you sell that card. That card's on eBay with a buy it now or an auction so fast that the game's not even over. So I'd like to hear from both angles. And we'll get into all that more. I'm thinking my next show will be real soon, and we'll probably do it a little bit on selling. We've talked a little bit about selling your cards today, and I'll make sure our next show is about where you can sell your cards, how you can sell your cards, and there'll be a lot we can talk about. You can go eBay. You can go to your sports card shows. You can go to your sports card dealer. You can go to Craigslist. You can go to the web. You can do whatever you want. And that all is a varying range of money and speed in which you can sell the cards. And we'll talk about that next show. And we'll talk a lot about eBay, probably. How to set up an account if you haven't already. And if you have an account already, maybe how we can take it to the next level so you can start getting that top dollar for your cards, or how you can start listing a few more cards, maybe a little bit more easily, maybe a little bit more efficiently. And we'll talk about a lot more on our next show. Well, we're going to break it out here. You'll notice that we'll have some cuts of music here, and this show's going to be a little bit different. We're not going to, well, for the meantime, we're not going to have advertisements. Obviously, if somebody approaches me and they think our audience is good for their market and their product, then for sure we'll have some advertisements. For the meantime, we're going to cut it with some original music. For now, it's going to be my nasty cuts, but I'm going to get you some pros. I know a couple musicians. But if you have something, send it to me, sportscardshow@gmail.com. I'll gladly cut it into the show. My ugly voice will probably speak over it for a portion of it. But if it's real good, we'll bump it out of here at the back end. And hope you all have a good rest of the week. Make sure you check me out for my next show. It's going to be way better than this. Trust me. And I'll see you guys later. Good luck.